Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
But we are starting a new year today. 2020 is off and running. I was talking to someone this morning and they said to me they haven't done goals and plans because they feel like they do it every year and who cares? So, you know, whoever you are, if you're the person who's done a full reflection, got the year planned out, or whether you're just going into it headstrong, head first, just see what happens along the way. No matter which one of us we are, God wants to be involved. And God wants to take us forward in a way that's going to help us build for the next, not the next year, but the next decade and the next generation, and take us as individuals into our communities and worlds so that we can carry His heart to our sphere of influence. So we thought it would be great to start the year with a series called Focus. And why focus? Well, it's 2020. And for most of us, as soon as you think of 2020, you think of 2020 vision. And this term, I didn't know this fact. This is a new fact for me. Who loves new facts? Anyone else in the room like, oh, you'll see? It actually comes from the visual clarity that is found when in the Snellen chart. Snellen. Interesting name. I assume it's somebody's surname. But the clarity and the sharpness of the Snellen chart when you stand 20 feet away. So most of us have been to the optometrist. In the distance are all those little letters and they get smaller and smaller and smaller. That's the Snellen chart. So when you stand 20 feet from that, how much clarity do you have? And that's called 2020. If you have full clarity, you have 2020 vision. And we believe that this year, as we go into 2020, that God wants us to have clarity. He wants to have sharpness in the different areas of our lives so that our future can be the best that it can possibly be. But to do that, we're going to need some focus. We're going to need to really tune in, hone in on some things, to put a spotlight, to concentrate on some areas of our lives that will have the greatest impact. So today, I have the privilege to talk to us about family, focusing on family. So I'm hoping that all of us leave with some tips for life. Maybe. Hopefully I can give you something that's helpful. And hopefully we can all leave here a little bit encouraged to go forward in what God's got for us. Well, we had a really lovely Christmas this year. We were all together, our immediate family, which was nice. I've got a photo up the back here. And I've got our three children, and then we've got two husbands now, and we had a girlfriend in there. So this photo, what we did was we all had to all run away from the photo, and we set the photo up on timer, and then we all had to run in, and wherever we landed was what the photo looked like. So this is something fun that we're now doing when we get together to take family photos. Makes it more interesting, and then you don't get in trouble because you had the wrong look. So we're all there. That was our Christmas day, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, every family looks different. We've all got different cultures. You can take that down now because they're all very distracted looking. It's a really interesting photo. Hey, you really love. But we've all got diversity across our families. Some of us have got lots of generations. Some of us have just got one or two. Some of us, you know, have got there's all different things going on in all our different families. And I grew up in a family that was fairly strict, fairly conservative. I assumed it was a normal family until I saw everybody else's families, and you grow up and you go, oh, so not everybody's family is the same as mine. But as a young person, I actually never gave much thought to having a family. I didn't really even think about it. I didn't have any kids' names up my sleeve. I wasn't one of those girls that was dreaming about having babies. I actually thought the whole idea was quite daunting. I didn't know what to do with babies. Anyone who gave me a baby, it would scream, I would give it back very quickly. So I just sort of assumed that that wasn't going to be a really good thing for me, and I never gave it any thought. So I'm actually surprised that my kids are alive. And I've raised them. Look, they're three humans who are functioning somewhat. And, you know, I ate Camembert cheese when I was pregnant. I slept on my back when I was pregnant. They were all sprinkled with talcum powder. Now I'm told this is terrible. We can't do this anymore. They slept in cots that had, like, the wall that came down, and somehow they've survived. They all had cloth nappies with big giant pins out the side, but that never killed any of them either. I dropped Sarah on her head when she was 6 weeks old. And Mark got electrocuted because he put a knife in a PowerPoint. Sarah ran out into a very busy road and a car came to a screeching halt as she was nearly hit. Mark almost drowned in a local pond. We were there having a picnic with girlfriends and another mother rescued him, spluttering. So, look, to be honest, I've tried. I've done my best. I've got a great family. I haven't got it all right. I don't have all the answers. Somehow we are still functioning today. And we're just having a go. And we're just celebrating family and celebrating who we are, our good bits and our bad bits, but we're doing it together. And I don't want you to think for a moment that I'm getting up here with all the answers to life, because as you can see, I'm not going to have them. But hopefully I have some things that could be helpful. It's actually really funny right now. We're at this point where my children are thinking about having children. And so they're analysing all the things we did as parents and what are good or bad or why you shouldn't have done that, that's caused us damage, like I'm carrying that. So that's really a new phase of parenting. It's being analysed for what bad parenting you did do. But anyway, I'm watching now. They've got to get it right. But you know, when I say family, you know, it goes in all different directions. We've got our kids, our siblings, we've got parents, we've got lost ones, we've got ones we're still hoping for, family members who will come on the page. It can be heartache and happiness all in one statement. But I actually believe that family is more than just the mum, dad and the kids, but it's our close community that we can embrace, the people that we value and that the people that we allow in close. Family is not just those that we're blood related to. Family can easily go beyond that. And, you know, for me, my favourite auntie was Auntie Ray. And Auntie Ray was a lady my mum met at work when she was quite young and the early days before she'd even have children. And her and Auntie Ray just hit it off. They were great friends. Auntie Ray actually never ended up having her own children or marrying. And Auntie Ray adopted us and we adopted her. And she was in our lives right through until she passed away at like 75. She was at my wedding. She was at all my birthdays. She was my favourite auntie. So sometimes the people that become the most family actually don't have the blood connection. And so today as I'm talking, I want us to keep our ears and hearts open to the people maybe who are around us that God's saying, that person's meant to be embraced into your family or they are family. Realise and identify that's who those people are for you. And so this morning, I think we can focus on family and ask God to help us do it better and bigger in 2020. Obviously, you know, I can't cover everything. I'm not covering every area of family. I've just got a few thoughts that I hope will encourage us and give us some inspiration this morning. Can I pray? Father God, as we think about our families, Lord, I know already there's some stirring in our hearts and there's some fun and there's some heartache. And Lord, we just ask that this morning you would inspire us about family, that you would give us hope, that you would give us the courage to build family around us that can help us reflect your love and your kindness in Jesus' name. Amen. So your family is probably dysfunctional. I don't know if you realise that. But Jesus's own family thought he was mad. In Mark chapter 3, verse 20, they're like, I think he's out of his mind. He's lost his mind. So if Jesus' family thought he was half crazy, you are probably half crazy in your family. And if you're pretending your family is perfect, stop it. We all know it's not. We don't need to pretend, okay? It's no one's got a perfect family. And the wonderful thing is that God is okay with that. God can cope with the fact that your family might be a bit dysfunctional, that there's tensions and there's disagreements or that your kids aren't perfect. I know there's youth pastors in this room who can tell me stories I don't want to hear about my children. I don't want to know what they did when you had them on youth camp. I want to pretend they're perfect, okay? But God is okay with our kids, our parents, our relationships not being perfect. You know, the Bible is actually full of dysfunctional families. The very first family experienced sibling murder. As history goes on, we're told that rivalry, jealousy, lust were all happening in these families. There are crazy uncles, there are uncles, there are twin dramas. There's sisters who steal each other's husbands. One priest, his children are described as worthless. Now, this is pretty rough stuff. So if you're wondering if your family's not exactly perfect, it's all good. Read the Bible. You'll feel amazing. You'll feel like a great parent, all right? Your family's dysfunction is not a problem to God. It's not a roadblock to you having a healthy family. There is no such thing as perfect family. But God does want to bring hope. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring health to our families. And God wants to bless you and the generations that are to come. The scriptures actually tell us that he wants to bless to the 1,000th generation. That God is in the business of generations, of family. God loves family. So for me, a couple of things that I think are important in family. The first one I believe is honour family. That we need to actually honour the concept of family, the unit of family. And in Psalm 127, verse 3, it says this. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Children, our children are actually an inheritance from God. There's something we can celebrate. And I remember wanting to throw Sarah at the wall as she wouldn't stop crying as I was just, and I know, as I told you, I'm not perfect. But I remember the stress of being a young mum with a young baby and it's sometimes you don't feel like they're a blessing. Sometimes you don't feel like they're all that much of heritage, but God says they're a blessing. Your children are heritage. Your children are an investment that God has put into you. Celebrate them. Be thankful for them. Thank God for them all the time. All the time, even when you don't feel like it, it's easy to thank them when we're telling our friends about them. Like, oh, my kids are awesome. They did this or that. But when you're at home and the house is a disaster and no one's helping, God's saying they're a blessing. They're your heritage. They're your inheritance. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16 says, honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long. And that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Parents are worthy of honour. Children are an inheritance, are a blessing to the parents, and parents are worthy of honour. Talk about the good things. Tell people how amazing your parents are. Young adults in the room, rave about your parents. Tell everybody how good your parents are. It's so easy to see the negative in our parents. Even at this age, this season of my life, remembering to celebrate my mum and dad. Seeing the good things they've done, remembering the investments they've made into our lives, the sacrifices they made so many years ago for us as young children. And it's easy to sort of be looking at my unit and forgetting what my mum and dad have done and their parents did for us. The immigrants that came, honouring the immigrants that came and brought us here for a better way of life, for an opportunity that you wouldn't have had, to be able to eat so many different sorts of food, not just one. So honouring the parents that have gone before us. We need to always be honouring our family, the family unit, to honour it. Value it. Don't disregard it. Invest in it. See it as something valuable. And can I encourage you in our society today that people are looking at your family. Wherever you are, wherever you function, whether you've got small children, whether you're an older adult in the gym, and they want to hear how do you relate to your young adult children, whether you're a grandparent with small children, with grandchildren that you're connected to, whether you're a single person that's connected into a community of people that creates family. Whoever you are, your family is being looked at from the outside. And how we see family, how we represent it, actually brings hope for the people around us. We carry a light for those in our community and even our families that are struggling or have difficulties in them, have heartache, people still watch and go, wow, you're journeying that heartache with grace. You're journeying that heartache with kindness. You're journeying it with a sweet spirit. How do you do that? So as we value family, we actually are an example and a testimony of who God is in our lives. Amen? Amen. Come on, give God some praise for as we honour our families. Make room for celebration. You know, for me, this is one of the most important things about family, whether it's birthdays, Christmas, celebrating God's goodness, maybe it's an achievement, you know, celebrating with special things, special decorations, food, awards, whatever it looks like, celebrating is such an important part of family. You know, on Sarah, our eldest daughter Sarah, on her last day of school, you know, they have a little concert, they have a thing at the school where they celebrate, and then they all get to dress up in funny outfits, and then all the kids all go to somebody's house and have the afternoon. And Richard and I looked at each other and went, oh, we need to celebrate. And it was like, yeah, but we don't need Sarah because we're celebrating. We're awesome. We've just raised a child. We've actually got somebody through school and we're high-fiving each other. It wasn't Sarah's day. It was our day because, wow, look what we did, because we wondered along the way whether we would get there, because school and Sarah weren't really best friends. But you got to celebrate. You've got to celebrate the wins and for yourself as in within family. So Richard and I were like, we went for lunch and we're cheering each other. We're awesome parents. We're fantastic. So you've got to do that. Because God loves celebrations. God is in the business of celebrations. God directed the Israelites to celebrate so many different things, to use celebrations to remember how good he's been to them, what he'd done to bless them. And the very first celebration God gave the very first family, Adam and Eve, God says to them, we're going to celebrate. And on the seventh day, we're going to rest. We're going to take a day off. We're going to relax. You don't have to do things to make me happy. The very first celebration that God gave his family, his people, was to rest and enjoy his goodness, to celebrate his provision. It's like God was there. He's like, whoa, guys, look what I've done. Look what I've done. Let's all celebrate together the Sabbath. And that Sabbath, that day, actually then became a ritual for the Jewish people. It became part of their daily rhythm. It became part of what they did every single week. It became just the routine of life. But in that was a celebration of God's goodness. And for us, those rituals, those repetitive things that we do in family life are actually really, really important. And it's important for us to create them. It's important for us to identify them, and it's also important for us to value those things because they identify what's important to us as a family. And I actually found this on the Raising Aussie Kids website. It's a great website, actually. I was very impressed when I was looking at this, and it has all different stages of life, and there's some things about disability and autism and all different things that affect lots of families today, preschoolers, school age. And it actually talked about rituals and why rituals are so important. It's a bit hard for you to read, but there in the bold it says that rituals are important for children because they create security, identity and belonging. It's a comfort to children. It helps children to feel that the world is a safe and predictable place, and it also strengthens your family values. So that's a good little tip for anyone who is looking for some good things on raising family or even helping other people raise family. I found that really helpful. But whether you're an auntie or a babysitter or a friend, you can actually create rituals that help children feel like they belong, that help children feel secure. Some of the things we did with our kids when they were little, the simplest thing of, you know, we had to pray with them every night before they went to bed. So we'd put them into bed. There was a whole going to bed routine. And then the last thing was like, this means you're going to sleep now. Let me pray for you. And we would pray for each of them every night. But and then I knew it was important because sometimes you'd hear a little voice, Mummy, oh, I can't go to sleep yet because you didn't pray for me. You didn't pray for me. Yes, we did pray for you. So instead of it being a glass of water, it was a, Mummy, please come and pray for me. But that was one of the rituals, one of the things that as a family we'd put value on. My the little ones all had, when they were little, they had a special song each. So it just sort of happened with Sarah. I was rock trying to make her sleep. Oh my gosh. And so I would sing a little chorus from church, and it was just simple. I'm not singing it for you because they won't let me. But I would sing to her, and that song, really, I just sang to her right through until I didn't need to sort of be helping her go to sleep anymore. So when Stephanie came along, I had to think of a different song. So she had a different chorus, and then Mark had one as well. And when I remember Stephanie was about four, and on this one day she was a bit upset, and she said to me, "Mummy, can you sing me my song, my special song?" So in her mind, this song was, I don't think she'd worked out we sang it at church every week, but... You know, doing, it was a ritual, but it gave her security. It gave her comfort. When she heard that song, to her it was, oh, I can rest now. So doing simple things in our lives, God's given us the example of putting rituals in place, putting simple things in place that aren't binding, but that help us do family well. Is this helpful? My kids' favourite, we said to them, what was your favourite thing we did as families? And all of them said, family night. Family night. What was family night? Well, family night was pretty special. Every Friday night we would do family night. And family night involved popcorn, probably a movie. That was about it, really, to be honest. But they got to choose. So we would say, it's family night on Friday night. What do you guys want to do? Oh, we want to get popcorn. Oh, we want to watch a movie. Fantastic. Or they sometimes it would be a bit more creative, but pretty much it wasn't that exciting. But we made it sound exciting. And we talked about how exciting it was going to be. On Friday morning, we would get up in the morning and we'd say, guys, it's family night tonight. And they go, yay. And so we had a song and we had a dance that went with family night. Yes, yes. Small family rituals. It went like... And we created something that they valued, that felt special, that felt like our own. We put language around it. And these are the things that you can do that help family feel together, that build community with your family, celebrating and creating rituals. But your family, these things have to change. Like, you know, I didn't say to my kids, it's family night tonight, what do you want to do? They don't get excited about that now. Instead, I say, hey, you all want to come for dinner? And they respond to that. So, you know, it's got to change. Don't get stuck. Don't get religious. Don't force your kids to do things because this is what we've always done, the way we've always done it. We have to do it like this. Not if family doesn't enjoy it, because the whole point is it's building family, not building traditions. The point is you're encouraging and connecting, causing hearts to bond. These rituals are meant to connect us to one another. Family night now looks really different. So talking with your family about what's important, what do they value, what do they love, what do they enjoy doing, actually asking your children. The fact that we asked our kids, but we probably should have asked them years ago, what are the things we're doing well, what are the things that are frustrating you? I remember someone sharing with me recently that their son had expressed something to somebody that they thought, you can't say that. I said, what an opportunity to hear his heart. Don't shut that down. Listen. I probably could have listened a little bit more. I probably could have been more open to my kids, you know, what they were saying, what they were thinking. So asking our children, asking people what they enjoy about the connections we're making. Building memories. What are they doing up here? I've got two. I told you I wasn't going to get very far. I had so much to tell you. I've still got a few great things. But building memories. Don't be too busy. Don't be too busy to build memories of whatever season of life we're in. You know, I love my house being clean and tidy. I love things being organised. But like the scripture says, where there's chaos, usually it means there's people around you. There's people living there. Having had 8 people in my house for the last 2 weeks, I've swept the floor every day. I haven't done that for a year. I'm lucky if I sweep it once a week. But where there's people, where there's fun, where there's community, you're going to have some chaos to go with it, and celebrating that, having time for that. You know, the memories are created because we talk about things, because we remember things, because we've processed it, reprocessed it. So you probably have a childhood memory that's a good one. I will guarantee there's a photo to go with that. Or I will guarantee that one of your uncles has told you that story 100 times. That whenever the family gets together, that story always comes up. You talk about that holiday, and because you've revisited it, it reaffirms that memory or that experience in your mind, and it makes it something that is part of who you are. So we can do that deliberately for those around us, for our family, for our children. like family night. We just kept talking about it. We just kept saying how awesome it was. We kept celebrating that we were celebrating. And our kids have ended up believing that it was the biggest night of their lives. Literally some popcorn and a movie most of the time. But we were together and we built a memory that says our family values one another. Is that good? Do some fun stuff. Make room for things that create memories. Some going for a walk to the same place. And talk about those. You know, I just embracing people who maybe aren't directly your family is so powerful. My daughter Sarah's living in Sydney. She's in a house with lots of college students. There's people who are all from all around the world. Most of them don't have their direct family with them. So it's a collection of people who don't have blood family. And so they've created family with these people, and they have family night every single Monday night at her house. So the ones that live in her house, family night every Monday, they eat together, they do an activity together, and then there's a few others that get invited as they've created family. And for Christmas, they did an Advent month. So every Monday over before Christmas, they did something interesting that was like a Christmas activity. And this really blessed me. She invited my mum to come and teach them how to cook our traditional Christmas pudding as a group of people. So they all cooked it together. They watched her make it. She gave instructions. Family. She's building family. She's integrating and making connections with people, heart bonds, so people feel like they belong. It's not just about who we're blood related to. It's about investing in those around us. Jesus talks about that. Jesus says, "Who is my mother and my father? Who are they?" He looks around and he says, pointing to his disciples, he says, "Here are my brothers and my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother." And Jesus is saying to us, when you focus just on your narrow family, when you focus just on your traditions, your culture, your people, you miss out. That there's a broader group of people around you who are actually your family. The family of God goes beyond race, beyond regional, beyond rationale. God's people are around us and they are our family. So we all belong in a family, and it's this beautiful family. I love that Tim shared with us a scripture at the beginning of this message. And I'm going to close with this. Joshua, he talked about Joshua and at the beginning of his journey, his beginning of leading God's people into the promised land, what he said. God said to him, "You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous." And I want to talk about what he said at the end of that journey. And I love that Tim mentioned it because that was the start. And then at the end, when the Israelites had gone out and conquered the land and had settled, they were ready to settle. They were all ready to go back and now camp. They, in all the places that God had given them, they were in their promise. They still had to function in it and continue to overcome and build, but God had given them the promise. And he said to the Israelites, "What has God done for you? Where has God taken you? What are the things he's blessed us with? Look around us at what he has done. And I'm asking you, who are you going to choose to serve? Are you going to choose to serve what you left behind, your past, or are you going to choose to serve the God who has brought you here and protected you and shielded you and provided for you?" And Joshua makes this statement, and this actually was for our family a bit of a family scripture that directed us for all our years. Like in the early years, we had this written up on posters, and with a young family, we use this scripture to help us make decisions. And he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," he's talking to the other people, "then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." But Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, as for my family, we will serve the Lord." We're going to serve God together. We're going to love his house and his people together. And if there's one thing that has been the mantra for my family, and if there's one thing that I can shout from the rooftops as do this, is be a Christian, be Christians before you're a family. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And then we're a family. I'm a Christian before I'm a wife. My children, I'm raising them as Christians before I'm raising them as my children. I'm raising them to love God, to know God, to trust God, to be disciples of God, but they are my children. But more than anything, I want them to love God and know God and have a passionate relationship with Him. And that as we serve Him, He blesses us. As for me and my house. And you know what? We have served the house of God, not separately from our family. Our family is the house of God. We're all Christians. We're together. So as a family, we are the church. When we're at home in our lounge room, we are the church. We are God's people. We are the body of Christ. We don't have to come in here to be the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ at home. So when I'm at home, I'm as much a pastor to my children as I am when I walk in this room. I'm as much a minister of the gospel in my home as I am in my workplace or at my shopping center. I don't go out there to win the lost in my own home. Are children who need the gospel, are children who need to know Jesus, are grandchildren, are friends of my children, are other families that are connected to my family. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the things that we've done to build that, the things that we've done, we haven't got it all right, we don't have all the answers. But can I encourage you? Help your family to love God. Help your family to see God. Help your family to experience God. Help your friends to find God. Because that's family. That's what we're called to. And as we focus on family, you know, many of us, maybe there's some things you can do differently this year. Maybe you can create some memories. Maybe you need to not worry about the dishes and sit down on the floor and play Lego. Maybe you do need to worry about the dishes, stop playing Lego, like, you know. It all goes both ways. But whatever it is, I want to encourage you that you're doing great. That I love watching this church parent children. I love our kids' world. I love the families I see in this house. And I want to encourage you, those of you with young children, you're doing an amazing job. You are building young warriors for Jesus. You are building the next generation of leaders for this nation. You are building our next prime ministers, our government leaders, our school teachers, our hospital workers, our business owners, the ethics and the values that you're sowing into the young people around you, into family, are influencing our nation and our city. So have hope, be encouraged. But ask God, ask Holy Spirit, what can I do differently in family in 2020? How, if I focus on family, what speak to me, Holy Spirit. Where do you want me to stretch, grow, try something different, build a new memory, change gears? Yeah? Amen? Amen? You know what? The most beautiful family that God gives us is His family. And in Galatians chapter 3:26, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." And I love that ultimately, the best family any of us can be part of is God's family, His eternal family, that He is the ultimate Father. He is our perfect Heavenly Father, and He wants relationship with every single one of us. And He sent His Son Jesus so that despite what our human world has for us, despite our own weaknesses, despite our disappointments, that Jesus came so we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can have family and we can have eternal family, that we belong to God in eternity, that we can have connection with other people who know God. The Bible actually talks about us being adopted, being not just being allowed to visit with Him, but He actually adopts us into His family supernaturally. And I don't know about you today, but maybe you don't know God. Maybe you're not connected to Him and you would love to be. And I would like to give you that invitation to do that, because I know that serving God with my life and my heart only happens because I know Him and I love Him. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because he's so good to me. I do it because he's given me peace. I do it because he's given me grace and kindness. And he wants to do that for every single one of us. Most of us in the room know that. Most of us have made that decision to be part of God's family. But maybe today you're saying, wow, I'd love to do that. And I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads. And if you'd love to do that today, I'm going to invite you to just give me a wave because I would love to pray with you. Because God wants to invite you into his family. So just give me a wave if that's you this morning. Then we're going to all pray together. Thank you for that hand. Thank you so much. Thank you for that hand. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that hand over there. God's family. He's the perfect Father. Gives you peace and wisdom. Is there anyone else? Just one more, I think. Beautiful. Let's all pray together in one big voice. Dear Jesus, I thank you for coming and dying on the cross for me so that I can be part of your family. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for forgiving my past. And I ask that you would take me in and love me as you've promised you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I ask you all to stand to your feet? Let's give those guys a congratulations. So beautiful. Well done. Beautiful. Best decision. Family. I just want to pray for your families. Can I pray for you this morning? I don't know what's happening. I don't know. Good things. You're ready. Some of you are believing for babies. You're believing this year is the year to be a family. Some of you are all sorts of things going on. But can I pray for your families? Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's extended family. If you want me to pray for your family this morning, if you want Holy Spirit to turn up in a fresh way, a new way, why don't you just raise your hand? Father, as we focus on our families, as we focus on this beautiful, beautiful thing you've given us, this the family where we can be connected, where we can love one another and care for one another and have security in our young children and older children, Father, for grandchildren, Lord. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just breathe life across all our families. Father God, we pray for those whose families are far away, but they're here, that they would be surrounded by physical other family, Lord, people that can love them and care for them. Father, I thank you. And Lord, I pray that you would just guard our hearts. Lord, keep our hearts open and soft to all that you want to do with us in 2020 as we focus on your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise, church. I love you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.